This is CliffCentral.com.
Monday morning, the 5th of March. Sia Sangweni is back. Hooray!
Oh, man. 40,000 years later.
No, it actually doesn't feel like that long.
Oh, it feels that long to me.
I mean, we missed you while you were away, but it didn't feel like it was forever.
Just
how are you doing, Sia?
Flew by. Oh, so well rested. Just, I'm still floating somewhere on an island. I'm good.
We want to hear all about it. Ben is here. Good morning,
hello.
Ben.
Good morning.
And Balesa's here, and Mabali is not this morning.
It's always still like, somewhere in Kwakwa.
Yes, that's right. She had a family thing to attend to over the weekend, and she's on her way back from Kwakwa sometime today. What's happening, everybody? Busy weekend or a nice, relaxed one? How did it go?
Yeah, it was quite nice.
Yeah?
Well, I did a few things. Went to the golf in Pretoria in the Tshwane Open.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was fun.
How was it? Who was there that you wanted to see?
Just a friend of mine from Cape Town. So he was up here interviewing a couple of people, so I didn't get to see him much.
Okay.
I went to go see him, watched about 4 holes of golf. Some guy shook my hand. I had no idea who he was, but I went with it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was cool.
Some guy, he said he knew you?
I don't know, Gareth. I drew a blank.
Huh.
As in, do they think you were like a dignitary?
Maybe they thought I was someone else.
Maybe they thought you were a famous golfer.
Yeah.
Should have rolled with it. Seen what the perks were.
Right.
Well, I did. I went with it and I walked on. Yeah. And that was quite fun. And then I had a birthday party.
Hmm.
It was all happening. But see, when did you actually get back?
I flew back on Saturday morning. Landed here on Saturday morning.
It's very sensible.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you've had a full day then.
Yeah, well, I just slipped right through.
Brilliant.
Because I didn't realize how jet lagged I'd be. And I was out and about on Saturday.
You'll probably still feel it a little bit this week. That's usually how it goes. No, really.
Yeah, but it's jet lag, plus it's acclimatizing from holiday to work.
Yeah.
That's the unknown.
I was actually having this conversation with my friend when we were flying back and thinking, oh, after not doing anything for 2 weeks, now just answering 5 emails would be like, woof, wow, I'm exhausted.
And it's like, oh, jet lag. More like it's our work.
Because I actually went to sleep on Saturday at 6 p.m.
Yes.
And I only woke up on Sunday morning at like 7 a.m. So it was a 13-hour sleep.
That's good. You need it.
Mm.
So, you feeling relaxed, though?
Oh, yeah.
Had a nice proper break.
You see, I think what worked well with my friend and I is we believe in the same type of holiday. So we aren't those people who fills up their time doing activities or going on tours. So we got well acquainted with our beds. We were watching a lot of Asian horrible TV.
Nice.
Going downstairs to the beach or the pool, and we called it a day.
Beautiful.
It was fun. Absolutely fun.
That's the way to do it. But you did have a party or two, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Because where were you when you sent that picture to us of you listening to the show in Hong Kong, I think?
So I spent 3 days in Hong Kong and then 7 days in Bali. And so Hong Kong was still very sensible.
Right.
And we landed the first day. We were so jet lagged as well. We spent the entire day in bed. And because the weather as well was very dark and gloomy, just worked well to make us sleep. We only got up later that evening and started to see the city, and everything is so efficient there and it's so easy to navigate.
You can go anywhere, right?
We were right next to a train station. The system, you work out well. It's so cheap as well to get around.
Any big mistakes where you ended up far away from where you wanted to be?
Not even, which speaks to how simple everything is. And there's always a train ready in a couple of minutes.
And you get by with English in Hong Kong pretty well.
They have a good mix in the city because as much as they speak their own languages, everything is labeled well.
Yeah.
I even went to McDonald's and you're able to order food there and you understand what's happening because even if you can't read, you can
look you went
at
there
the
and you obviously, but like the food, you stuck to what you knew, McDonald's. You didn't have a number 73 from Mrs. Pong's Hong Kong.
Look, I'm sorry. When you
Hong
go,
Hong.
That's
Hong.
It. When you go down for breakfast and you find like steamed rice and fried
Asian
rice and noodles.
Breakfasts are amazing. Just don't go there hungover.
Yeah, what's amazing about like rice in the morning?
That's the thing, Sia. It's so completely different. It's like a different universe, like a Rick and Morty episode. An Asian breakfast is like a Rick and Morty episode.
It's too much. It was too much for
and
me.
And there's dumplings and... Wow, I had the best ever like Asian breakfast once in a hotel in Bangkok. It was because normally it's like 20% of the buffet and the rest is just the normal crap. Meanwhile, this was like 80%, and it was just amazing. I ended up eating a full Asian breakfast.
Oh, isn't that too heavy for the first thing in the morning?
Yeah, of course it was, because I wasn't brought up for that. Oh. Yes. It's like it was a bad call in hindsight, but at the time I thought I was doing something quite
what
cultural.
What is in an Asian breakfast?
That's just it, Gareth. You'll never know.
Mm. Oh, so it's all, what is it? Is it all crumbed and hidden away?
No, it's just a variety of things. It's just like, think of all the Asian food you kind of know, and then you add certain things. Like there was just these strange dumplings in those like straw bamboo kind of things.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's what they like.
It's like you can get like a breakfast tower where there's just like four floors of something covered in dough.
Mm. And they don't just do one plate of a serving. If you're sitting at a table, what I've noticed is they want several options so that you pick and choose at things. But I'm sorry, like there were certain things just wrapped up and fried, and it's like a lucky packet of what you'll get inside. So I wasn't about to choose.
Yeah, this is how you live life, unfortunately. You've really got to just throw yourself into an Asian breakfast.
Oh, no, thank you. That's it.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah. And I thought everything was very civilized about the city and very modernized and efficient and quiet and reserved up until we then went partying in Hong Kong, which was a mess. I think the mere fact, because we hung out with a friend of mine who lives in Hong Kong and performs at Disneyland. So it was these three black guys just walking out into Hong Kong and went partying. And as soon as we started dancing, I've never felt more like a superstar than that moment.
They were all looking at you?
Yes. Wow. We just had these Asian kids just like gawking at us. And then we didn't pay for drinks for the rest of the evening. Everyone just sending free drinks our way. I was like, I am loving this.
Nice.
Should quit my life, become a club promoter in Hong Kong.
Wow.
So that was actually not a bad idea.
I thought, you know, the novelty will wear off in a couple of months. Then they're like, listen, guy, chuck back to South Africa. But yeah, Hong Kong, I would advise anyone to go to. It's the culture.
I've got a friend who moved,
unlike anything.
One of my friends moved there about 4 years ago, and she is loving it.
Mm.
She said it's the most interesting place. She'll never come back. She just absolutely loves it. And I don't know. I haven't, for whatever reason, for better or for worse, I haven't been to Asia very much.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I haven't been anywhere east of Dubai, which I only flew into as a passing thing.
Yeah.
So Asia is the one continent I haven't really explored at all. Been to South America. Australia is the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those, I don't know, going east doesn't do a lot for me. Maybe I'm just being ignorant, but
yeah,
there are a few things on my list I would like to see in that part of the world, and one of them is Japan.
Well, there's just so much in Asia. I reckon you could skip Australia.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll go to your deathbed going, oh, if only I went down under. No, but like Asia is just so full of like the variety of things. And every time you go there, there's something different. Like I've done 3 trips there.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go?
Well, I did Thailand twice, but on the back of that, I also did Hong Kong, Singapore stopovers, and then Indonesia last time. And when you look around, you just could go to 8 different places within a 200-kilometer radius.
Mm. Yeah.
Easily.
Mm.
Yeah, and I'm curious about China. Obviously, you know, when
we're going there for Winter Olympics, Beijing.
Is that where we're going?
1,387 days time.
All right.
Wow. Good. There we go.
The countdowns here.
Well, Sia, you've been missed. There's been a lot going on while you were away.
Your cabinet reshuffle.
Yeah. It's all changed.
No, I did leave when we had the new president, yes.
And I think you just left that week.
It's so interesting how small the world is, because as soon as now you mention that you're from South Africa, people are up to date with what's going on with our country, and they have their eye on our world. We did just have one awkward encounter with a guy who we bumped into, and he goes, where are you from? Like, from South Africa. South Africa goes, oh, Nelson Mandela. We go, yes. He says, yes, I have a dream. We go, no, you got your blacks confused. That's Martin Luther King, not Nelson Mandela. That was weird. But it's either they reference Nelson Mandela. And the second thing I was surprised to know is a lot of people in Asia, when they think South Africa, they then reference Waka Waka, like Shakira and the World Cup.
Yeah, Shakira's from Benoni. Keep telling people that.
From tons of places we went there and just mentioned South Africa. They go, ah, yes, Waka Waka. I'm like, please don't do
people
this.
People in Europe also think that. So my girlfriend was telling me a story that when her parents went to Italy to go see family, as they arrived for like the first family get-together, they were playing Waka Waka, thinking that Shakira was from here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they do. They actually think she's South African.
That's our jam.
We should own it. We should say, yeah, Shakira's from here.
I guess it's the whole World Cup fever.
Sure, why not?
She's a more of a Tony's first child.
All right.
I don't know how you put those two together, but okay.
Speaking of Asia, how's it, guys? I listen to the Cliff Central podcast every day from China. It's so good that I can download it quickly and instantly be transported home. The other day, I laughed so hard when Gareth played the How to Be a Sport Dumb song that all the people in the subway stared at me. What frequency, says Andre, do I pick you up in the Cape Town area?
Oh, no. Please, no.
Andre will catch up to you when you catch up to the present. Stupid bastard. just someone explain it to him. I can't be bothered. Nobody seems to be hurt, but he's a superstar now. He's caused an incredible amount of chaos. People woke up from their blissful kush comas and blackouts to get in their seven laughs. Dumi from Johannesburg. I don't know what Dumi's talking about here. Oh, right. Funny scenes on a Saturday night in Mill Park. A guy and his friend managed to crash through the side gate of the Mill Park Muse building. The bottles of beer they were drinking littered the scene. How stupid can you still be? Why do people act like Uber and Taxify aren't the perfect solution to this?
Because what? They're still out.
Yeah, they're driving drunk.
Okay.
You know, you whatever you think, you suppose you have superpowers in that minute, right? And then you figure out somewhere quickly along the way that driving drunk is just not a cool thing to do anymore. Mm. It's always going to end badly. And whatever it costs you, whatever you're worried about in terms of the costs for, you know, the Taxify or the Uber or whatever, it's nothing compared to what you're going to have to pay in fines or an insurance, or to replace or repair the other person's vehicle or property.
Or just being in jail, which is...
the legal fees. Yeah.
It costs you a lot mentally.
Right.
I think we're still in that bit of a transition. You know, when 30, 40 years ago, smoking was cool, and just everyone thought that. And up until the culture changed, people realized that, hey, let's not be doff about things.
I won't do it.
And I think we're still there with drunk driving. It's still a while away.
I get why people did this in, you know, the 90s or the 2000s or whatever, when we didn't have these services. Now people have figured out a way to make it sensible and easy for you to not have to drink and drive. And if you do it and you say, oh, well, I can't afford Uber, then don't go out. You shouldn't be buying alcohol anyway. I mean, if you can't afford to get a decent ride home, you shouldn't be spending whatever little money you have on getting yourself hammered.
And also, never have to deal with a car guard. I mean, I know that would be an advertising campaign for them. But when you take an Uber, you get to a place, you don't have to then, like,
tip some guy.
Be haggled to death by some guy who said he's been watching your car for 3 hours, meanwhile he's just seen you.
He's performing a service you didn't ask for.
Was a boss.
Showing you how to park.
Shame. They have character.
But what did you miss? Yeah, I mean, what do you get when you walk back into South Africa that you don't have? Because I always think we've got tremendously warm people by and large.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, there's like people, little things. People greet each other here.
Yes.
You know, people smile at each other here.
Yeah.
They don't smile at each other in Hong Kong.
It's interesting because when you read out that message from the listener who says they get transported back to South Africa when they listen to a podcast from China, that is what I just didn't... That felt so weird to me. You get into the subway, you get into a train, and everyone has headphones in, everyone is looking down, everyone is sitting, keeping to themselves. I'm thinking, well, hi.
There's no communication.
And it's even worse when you go into colder places. Like, you do that in London, it makes Hong Kong seem happy.
It just seems bizarre to me. And people are so, they're almost surprised when you greet them.
Yeah.
And more so, I think it's this fact that you look different to them and you've made the effort to learn their language. It's like, what? Who are you? Like, what disco ball did you hatch from? It's like these weird things. But yeah, we have warmth unlike any other.
What have you seen, Ben?
What's going on there?
Give them to me.
Guys, what is going on in this place? I live for 2 weeks. There are weird things.
Is there
something
gross on the headphones?
Come on.
What do you see?
It's revolting. I just noticed that because there's about six pairs of headphones in the studio here.
It's makeup.
Someone's had makeup all over their ears, and now it's got all over the headphones.
Wait, who puts makeup on their ears?
And who puts makeup on their ears?
I know we are not beauty experts in this room,
but... That is horrific.
All right, there's a big issue, though, we haven't spoken about yet this morning, and I've got to drag everyone else into this, because there is a smell. Now,
this morning's been tough.
We've got people downstairs who use the same kitchen as we do. They film stuff over the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they come in here. And they can't come into our part of the building. We've got a separate door that we close. But they sometimes use the bathrooms. Which
definitely steal our toilet paper. Yeah. We go through toilet paper here like we've got a school of 10,000 children.
Oh. Correct. So there are a whole lot of people upstairs and below who will use our facilities from time to time. But here's the thing. Downstairs, walking in this morning, I walked in the door. You know that smell... When something smells dead, like if you've got a dead animal in a corner of the garden or something, there's a rat in the ceiling or... We were talking about this the other day. Something smells dead. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, I got here, I looked around, and I quickly came upstairs, and the smell got a little bit better, as in like it wasn't as strong once I got in the studio. But I'm too scared to go down there because what happens when you're the first person to see a dead body? Mm. Do you make the call? Do we call local security?
No, we wait for Jane.
Okay. I'm just so scared of being implicated in something here.
Jane can handle it. Palesa, do you know what it is? You should get Palesa to the microphone
here.
It's
just heavy any idea? In the air as well.
You have any idea what it is?
I have no idea. It might be the fridge downstairs, maybe.
What do you think is
in
the fridge?
Body in the fridge?
Not the body, Ben. I don't know, maybe meat or something.
Oh, God.
Palesa, one of us has to go check, and the three of us are stuck in the studio.
And it's not going
to
be me.
I think it's
your closest.
It's Enterprise Poloni.
Yeah, someone left some Enterprise Poloni in there.
So they found out that the source of all this listeriosis that everybody's worried about is an Enterprise Poloni factory in Polokwane.
Oh.
Yeah.
We spoke about Poloni a while ago, how basically they just... sweep up the floors and they put it into it.
Jesus. So they found the people were working tirelessly, scientists in the health ministry, to find the source of the outbreak. And apparently it claimed a total of 172 lives and 915 laboratory confirmed cases that had been reported to the National Institute of Communicable Diseases since January the 1st of last year. So Gauteng accounted for 59% of the cases. Western Cape, 12%. KwaZulu-Natal, 7%. It's a bacterium that was found in the environment. It commonly occurs in soil, water, vegetation, and the feces of some animals. It can contaminate a wide variety of food types, including meat and meat products, dairy products, fresh and frozen produce, and ready-to-eat products. And it was found in... processed meat in Polokwane in an Enterprise Poloni factory.
You think how many people eat from that factory?
Jesus.
Oh, man.
Let me ask you something. We discussed this whole processed meat thing a couple of weeks ago, you remember, and we got into it pretty deep. The stuff they put into Poloni is the stuff on the floor after they've chopped up all the meat. It's the scraps... It's the noses and the testicles and the assholes and the hooves and the hair and the eyes and all the shit parts that no one should eat. And then they blend it all together into a paste. It's the thick like pea soup, and it's colored gray. And then they add pink food coloring to make it look a little bit more appetizing and fresh. But it's not. Ears... throats and nasal passages and the places inside your body where snot and shit are produced.
Oh, delightful.
Yeah. And then people eat this stuff. A friend of mine calls Poloni poverty ham.
Well, it is.
I really cannot think of anyone who eats polony out of anyone? Delicacy. Oh,
I know
so
lots
tasty.
Of people eat polony. They put it in cortas.
Yeah, well, you eat it out of, it's the lowest, no tea, no shade, but anyway.
Yeah. So there's a lot of talk about that at the moment, and maybe this is the wake-up call we need, is that people need to realize that if you don't eat fresh food, even if, and it doesn't always have to be expensive, you can grow your own food. You could do it in a balcony. That's what we learned the other day. You know, pot plants. You can grow fresh vegetables. And if you want meat, rather buy a small piece of decent meat than buy a big chunk of processed meat. Right?
Spotter.
If it doesn't have bones in it, be very, very careful.
Yes.
So I've just got to get back to these headphones. So this person took the headphones off, saw that the headphones are now gone from black to a brown, and just thought, no, I'll just leave it there. I'll just leave that. That's no biggie for me anymore.
All right, but I also need to know, if we're talking about the headphones, why would you put makeup around
your ears?
Is that a thing a lot of girls do? We need Mabali here. Palesa, do you put makeup around your ears? We need to understand.
I think that's the reason why I don't do that.
Yeah.
Because it stays.
Can we do a quick reconnaissance of all the people who've been in the studio?
It was definitely an Ari show. Has to
no,
be.
It's not an Ari, because Ari doesn't come in on Fridays.
Oh.
So it's O'Neill.
Okay. Okay, right there.
Who
we go.
Was on O'Neill's show and would be wearing makeup?
Who was a woman?
Well, it could be a man wearing makeup.
No, I think it was a girl, because there was a singer, Zoe Madir.
Ooh, you just named and shamed her.
Named and shamed straight up there.
No That's need why, to follow the
think,
strand of hair.
Why do you think I asked Palesa? She doesn't fuck around. She goes straight to the person she thinks is responsible.
And she gives us a name and a surname.
So should we take a photo of this and tag her on social media?
We can sit on the Googler now.
That's a good idea.
Hi, you seem to have soiled our headphones. Could you come back and do something about this?
Can you come back and clean them? Lots of love,
and,
Ben.
And also soil out the dead body smell downstairs, which actually, it could be the same crime. I mean, this is how you solve big crimes. You find small crimes.
How did they get from soiling these headphones to now going downstairs and, what, killing someone?
Well, first of all, she got no respect for other people's property, so she got no respect for other people's lives. This is how the murders happen.
Well, I've found the dude who's sorting out our bathrooms. I'm asking him if he knows anything. I'm going to try and figure this out. Let me see. He's on his way into the studio now.
It's just never easy. We can never just do a show in this place, can we?
No. And hey, come in, man. How
really
are you?
What a welcome.
Fight for survival.
What a welcome.
Grab a seat here. We need to see you.
What's going on?
Do you know everybody here? This is Siad. This is Ben.
Hello. Morning.
All right. Say hello.
Hello.
Good. How are you, man?
Fine in the zoo.
Good. Thank you for sorting out our bathrooms for us. We really appreciate it. Do you know what that... Did you walk in this morning and smell something? Downstairs?
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yes,
do you have any idea of what you think it might be?
Huh. I will check it.
Just take a look. Tell us if you have any idea.
Yes.
What do you think it smells like?
It smells like a dead goat, right?
Yeah.
There's something. Who do you? Were there people here over the weekend?
No.
Working in the downstairs studio.
I was not here.
Oh, you weren't here. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Well, if you can go and have a look and check now, and then come back and tell us. Maybe you see something.
Okay.
That would be great.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, man.
I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. Yeah. And just cover your face in case there's something.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
Just grab it. There's a mask.
Okay.
Somewhere here.
Cheers.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. There we go.
He's brave. He's braver than us.
No.
That could be the last time we see him, guys.
Shame. I mean, none of you even asked his name.
You're the show host, Gareth. That's your job.
I must ask his name. he started here 2 weeks ago. He's kind of new on the scene.
I've seen him around.
It's the first time I've seen him.
Really? Wait. I've seen him around the office park here.
He's not one. He's not our staff. Yes. So that's why we don't know. You know, he's not kind of one of our people.
I feel bad.
So I'm not sure.
I just greet him the same way I greet my barber. Just, hello.
Yeah, but that's because you don't want to have a long conversation with your barber. Maybe you don't want to talk to the guy who cleans the toilet for you. Maybe you don't.
Yeah.
See, I was allowed to be a little bit superior sometimes. No. I understand. All right, we've got to get into the five things you need to know today, and there are a lot. There might be more than five, but we'll try and make our way through them as quickly as we can. First of all, a lot of people are going to be talking about this today. The Karabo Mokoena trial is about to start. Do you remember who Karabo Mokoena was?
This was the girl who was burnt by her boyfriend.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Correct.
And we still don't know what has happened, whether she was burnt first or there was an altercation and the boyfriend killed. I don't know.
Well, she had to be burnt after.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there wouldn't have been an altercation.
So, well... Oh, true. Sorry.
Yeah. For the defense, CS Angweni. All right. No. Anyway, the much-anticipated trial of Sandile Mantswe, who allegedly murdered his girlfriend, Karabo Mokoena, is set to begin on Monday. Mantswe appeared in the South Gauteng High Court in Johannesburg in September last year, where both the Mantswe family and the Mokoena families were present in a packed courtroom. And News 24 previously reported that at least 20 witnesses had been lined up to testify against him. He's 27 years old. He's been charged with the premeditated murder of Mokoena. She was killed in April of last year. He's also been reportedly charged with intent to do grievous bodily harm for allegedly assaulting her on March 27th of that year as well. It was obviously before he murdered her. Her charred remains were discovered in an open veld in Lyndhurst in Johannesburg. And they previously reported that her friends and family had been searching for her after she went missing. They searched for her at Mansue's Santon apartment, but had allegedly been told by him that he had not seen her since their breakup earlier in April. Mansue is a married father of three. At 27, he's a married father of three.
Sure, he's been busy.
Reportedly in a romantic relationship with her since October 2016, it's believed that he was estranged from his wife. The couple had a seemingly tumultuous relationship with Mokoena, at some stage reportedly laying the charge of assault against him, who in turn fired a countercharge of assault. Mansue has denied killing her, but during the bail application admitted to disposing of her body. So he's talked himself into a fine corner. We'll have to see what happens as the trial begins today. There's another criminal trial to add to our list. We've got a lot of them this year. Julius Malema says, in other news, that he wants to encourage educated farmers to take the land that is coming. He says, we're not going to disrupt farming. We're going to inherit farming and continue to farm. We want agricultural colleges open because the land is coming and it's going to need educated farmers. So I suppose the less said about that, the better. There was a Taxify driver who was killed over the weekend. Did you hear this story?
It's horrific.
Gauteng Community Safety MEC Sizakhele Nkosi Maloban has condemned the killing of Siyabonga Langelihle Ngqobo, whose body was found in the boot of a burnt Taxify vehicle. I am disturbed and disgusted by this brutal murder, aren't we all? I'm hopeful that no stone will be left unturned when the criminal justice brings the perpetrators of this callous crime to book. According to Sunnyside Police spokesperson Captain Daniel Mavimbela, Ngqobo was discovered on Thursday in the boot of a Chevrolet Avio near the UNISA Sunnyside campus. Awful, awful, awful story. Both the police and the company said they were investigating the circumstances around Ngqobo's death, and the transport department says it was alleged that Ngqobo was shoved into the boot of his car and taken to an open field in Sunnyside, where the vehicle was set alight. I mean, if you have to do that to retain your business isn't worth retaining. Mm. And anybody who has the choice, a lot of people don't, for various reasons in this country, but this almost makes me want to just support Taxify. Just support them. I'll use them for the next year and a half if I have to, just because I will not be pressured by thugs to have to use other kinds of transport. It's revolting that people don't understand how the free market works and think they can change it. They think they can tip the bath and make the water level change. You can't. And then, speaking of Ngqobo, Ngqobo in the Eastern Cape, investigations into that ugly situation, although those police killings, has led to the revelation of further crimes and arrests, the Hawks said on Sunday. And you know there was that funny Christian cult, the Seven Angels Ministry.
Yep. Oh.
They've arrested three more people aged 22 to 30. And apparently the 30-year-old suspect was arrested by the investigative psychologist section of the SAPS Forensic Division. He faces three charges that include rape, sexual exploitation, and sexual grooming. Yeah, these things always go together, huh? Priests and unwanted sexual advances always go together. And finally, I think this will probably be interesting to Anthea, who's going to join us in a short while. Reducing indebtedness and improving savings in South Africa is a major socioeconomic challenge. The MD of Old Mutual's Mass and Foundation Cluster, Clarence Netengwe, says the metro working population spends an average of 19% of their salaries on paying back debt, according to Old Mutual. And the National Credit Monitor found that only 48% of the 24 million active consumers in the country were up to date with their credit repayments in the first quarter of 2017, so that's last year. These statistics show that South Africans continue to be big borrowers and very, very poor savers. How do you like that as something to think about this morning? Are you one of those savers or are you one of those borrowers? And if you're one of those borrowers, what are your plans? How are you going to pay that back? Have you thought about it? We need plans. All right, little look at cryptocurrencies. And then we'll move into Ben and see what he's up to. Everybody's excited about cryptocurrency again because it seems that Bitcoin is on a little bit of a rally. It's moving from 9 to 10 to 11. It's currently trading at 11,548. It's $11,548. Wow.
That's a comeback, huh?
It is a bit of a comeback. And on the screen I've got in front of me, Ethereum is trading at $866.51. Ripple's at 0.97, so trying to get back to a dollar desperately. And Bitcoin Cash, if you care about that, it's kind of dropped, leveled off somewhere around $1,286.47. Ethereum Classic at $29.43. So if you're watching those, that's the best we can give you at the moment. Monero, though, continues to climb. That's looking at $376.58. So that's one of the good news cryptocurrencies this morning. Here's Ben with the latest in the sport.
So it was the Oscars last night, and the best documentary Oscar went to Icarus, that movie about the guy who became a doping cyclist.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting story around this guy, Brian Fogel.
Yeah.
So he wanted to create amazing movies, but then he basically he started a stage show called Jewtopia, which is about Jewtopia,
yeah,
which is about him and a fellow single friend trying to navigate the world of Jewish dating.
Okay,
and this was a massive success on stage, and then try to make it into a movie, and it was a complete and utter flop. So he was trying and trying and trying to get back into the entertainment game after Jewtopia, where he was known as nothing more as the Jewtopia guy. And then he thought, look, I love cycling. It's the only thing that gives me peace, because he was just a struggling director now. And I like making movies. Let me try to do both. So this was at the time when Lance Armstrong was obviously doping the hell out of things. And he believed it can't just be Lance. It has to be more than that. So the Jewtopia guy then got stuck into the making this movie. The first 2 years of making this movie didn't even make the end of the actual product. But he found this Russian guy. And that is how the story goes.
Yeah.
Grigory Rodchenkov. So you've got to watch the movie, the documentary Icarus. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but he found this Russian guy who was key to the whole Sochi doping, the Ministry of Anti-Doping, and all this kind of stuff. And this guy was so brazenly giving Brian Fogel all the information he needed. And this whole relationship had flourished, and now it is the Oscar-winning documentary. Wow. Icarus. It's on Netflix. And Netflix paid $5 million for it, which was unheard of at the time for a documentary. Moving on to the big news of the weekend. Well, there was lots of cricket, of course. The Proteas were as limp as ever. Aussies were just rolling them all over the place. And yesterday, they were all of 49 for 4, chasing 417. So that was it, basically. But then Adam Markram, who really is the future, what an incredible innings he played. Together with Tiernan Debray and Quinton de Kock, they managed to get the Proteas back to some sort of respectable score. Look, they're going to lose. The tail again just fell over like they do every single time. So currently 293 for 9. Australia needs just one wicket to win. South Africa needs 124 runs to win. Markham was eventually dismissed for 143. Quinton de Kock currently at the crease, 81 not out. So a welcome return to form for him.
Yep.
So the Aussies will go into the second test, the 1-0 up. But there's definitely signs this Proteus team isn't dead just yet. But I mean, look how horrible this is. Elgar got 9, Umlo got 8, De Villiers ran himself out for 0, and Faf du Plessis bowled again. There's a big technique flaw in this guy around off stump. Bowled again for 4. 22 runs between those 4 players? Just not good enough. These senior players have been woeful now for a couple of months. And it's simply embarrassing that a 20-whatever-year-old Markram comes in. And again, like, the world's on this guy's shoulders. If he screws up, imagine being the youngest guy on the team and all the hopes are on you. How terrible that must be.
Doesn't make things easy.
Yeah. And also, Durban, suck a bag of dicks. You're the worst test venue in all of cricket. No, I'm so tired of this. This is a waste of time taking a test match to Durban. They get about 12 spectators. You never get a full day of play because it always gets dark early. But they don't have the, like, don't have the mindset to go, okay, well, maybe let's start in the early in the morning. Or, Cricket South Africa, how about make this one the day-night venue? Or too much work, huh? Okay, let's move on then. So, in the football of the weekend, everyone expected another draw between Kaizer Chiefs and Orlando Pirates. Well, Pirates, 3-1 winners.
Gee.
Absolutely amazing that, because it obviously gives them a chance to maybe catch Sundowns, who are still top of the log. But 3-1, that's a big result. It really is. Steve Compella, in all this time for coaching Chiefs, actually hasn't won. This derby has not gone well for him. It's either been a draw or a loss. In other results from the PSL of the weekend, Bloem Celtic had a good win over IS Cape Town. Polokwane City drew with Golden Arrows. Platinum Stars went 1-2 down to Free State Stars. And Supersport United, well, it's the same old for them. Nothing really exciting whatsoever. 0-0 against Maritzburg United. Fitz drew with Barocco. Cape Town City had a good win over Chipper United. And table-topping Sundowns beat AmaZulu 3-1. In the English Premier League, well, you've got Arsene Wenger. I mean, someone's got to actually look into this guy's personal life. They lost again. Okay, so they lost to Brighton 2-1. It gets worse for Arsenal. But this dude afterwards says he still believes he's the right man for the job. Arsene, you weren't the right man for the job 2 years ago. You just weren't. I mean, like, is his wife...
I saw people saying that for the wrong reasons, Arsenal's the most entertaining team.
Yes, of course. Yeah. But why does this guy not want to let go? Does he have a murderous wife? Does he have a particularly foul-mouthed parrot at home? Why does he just not want to let go? He's old. He can be done with this job
and
now.
He's made plenty of money.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, the guy doesn't need to hang
Why
around.
Why does he not want to go home and just retire? Because he's clearly not doing anything for this club anymore. He's sinking them deeper into the mire.
Shame.
But Man City, well, they're 18 points clear. They beat Chelsea 1-0. And, well, it's only a matter of time until they win. And I hope they do, because the real exciting part is who's finishing top four. It's not Arsenal, that's for sure. They'll be in that top six, hopefully. But Spurs, Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea, all those teams vying for the top, be in the top four. One of them will miss out. Who's it going to be? Well, I doubt it's going to be Liverpool. They won over the weekend, so they beat Newcastle 2-0, so they're looking very good. Southampton, they drew with Stoke City. Spurs, they beat Huddersfield Town 2-0. And Man United, they didn't play.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
How's that for a headline?
Didn't play.
Didn't play.
Okay.
In athletics news, Roger Bannister died. Now, who can tell me who Roger Bannister
4 minute mile.
Anthea, yes, Anthea, you.
He was the first person to break the 4 minute mile.
Correct, correct, Anthea.
You just ignored me like it didn't exist. I'm pretty sure I said that.
Well, Anthea stuck two hands up, Gareth.
Yeah, well, two I got hands. To answer it first because my mic was on.
Oh, that's how it works.
So it was.
So how old was he?
It was, he died at the age of. Old.
88.
Yes, 88. So he was a neurosurgeon, and he said quite ironically he had became a victim of Parkinson's quite late on in his life. But it was just incredible how more than 60 years ago, this was seen as like just you could never run a mile under 4 minutes. And he was the first guy to do it. The current world record stands at 3 minutes 43. The late great Roger Bannister ran it in 4 minutes 59.4.
Wow.
So just goes to show, as soon as he beat it, everyone then believed they could do it. But it was a great time for Great Britain back in those days because Everest was just summited. Queen Elizabeth II was coronated. It was a really, really great time. And it just puts athletics back on the map. But he was running on those like horrible cinder tracks. And it was quite something back then. It was if you can read any book about Roger Bannister, and there are a few, this guy's life was incredible. And after that, after being the 4 minute mile marathon or the 4-minute mile king, he decided to just dedicate his life to science and neurosurgery. And he was one of the first people to get really stuck into testing for anabolic steroids and making sure that athletes could at least be slightly clean. So this is one of the real amazing like people of sport has now died. But everyone dies. So I'm not going to be one of those guys that go, oh, shame, because he was going to die.
He made his contribution.
But he really was just an incredible human being. So if you've got some time this week, read up about Roger Bannister. The guy really was quite something. And in rugby news, Super Rugby. That's quite a contrast. The Jaguars, they got hammered by the Hurricanes at home. The Bulls versus Lions, that was the big game for the weekend. And the Lions, although they scored 7 tries, beating the Bulls 49-35. No prizes for guessing who's still the boss at SA Rugby. The Sharks managed a draw with the Waratahs. How piss poor is that at home? And the Crusaders, well, they hammered the Stormers, but they always were going to. 45-28. To the Stormers' credit, they were 25-0 down after 20 minutes. So they came back a little bit there. But yeah, no one cares about how you come back in life. It's about winning or losing. And the Chiefs, they beat the Blues. Other games, Australians were in it, so no biggie. And finally, in the golf, massive weekend of golf. Phil Mickelson, he won the WGC in Mexico. He got into a playoff with Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas eagled the 18th to get into that playoff after a tremendous round of 64. But Phil Mickelson has not won since, I don't know, it's just been too long. It's just been far too long. So the 47-year-old, obviously giving Tiger Woods a huge amount of hope here. He can also come back. 47 years old, and he beat the best in the business at the WGC at the Chapultepec Golf Course in Mexico City. Amazing place there. And then George Casillas, he won the Tijuana Open, second time he's done it, at his home course off Pretoria, which is great for George because he's been so shit-faced there on Brandy and Coke for so many years of his growing up in golf that he can now win a tournament and then get stuck in with his mates at the bar afterwards. He cancelled his flight for his next tournament because he knew the hangover would be far too tough for him. But what a champion. That's a real champion right there.
All right.
A guy that commits to the draw afterwards. Well done, George.
Good for him.
Many, many tournaments and success ahead for you.
All right, Ben, thank you very much. There's a look at the sport. Busy Monday morning. Let's turn our attention to Anthea and see what's happening with our money.
She looks hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. She looks hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Oh, remember when we recorded this?
She looks hard for the money.
Took Anthea into a studio.
So hard for it, honey.
Anthea just necked 2 bottles of sake. She went.
She sang it so beautifully. All right, let's get cracking. So
I'm
much
glad.
To do.
I'm How glad you all here? Appreciate it. I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Did you have a decent weekend?
I did. I had a magical weekend. I went to see The Illusionists.
Oh, very good. Yeah. We had the one guy in here the one week.
Good pun, Anthea.
Thank you.
And you were impressed?
Very impressed. Okay. The Mentalist, Chris Cox, free advert for him, is unbelievable.
What,
mind-blowing.
What does he do?
He basically reads minds. But you know how it works, right? They're supposed to be able to...
They farm stuff out into the audience.
That's
right. They give you clues and then...
And they kind of
your brain
tell you
puts
how
it together.
To think. They give you like little bits of things and then you think certain things and... But what's
I get
amazing,
frustrated. I want to know how, and I don't care about. Don't find it entertaining to be tricked.
I'm exactly the same. I sat there going, how? What? What did you say?
Show me your work. You know, like with your homework, if you do long division, you have to show how you got to that answer.
Yes.
If you solve an algebraic equation, show me how you got there. I don't want to know about the trick. I don't like being tricked.
Yeah, I think it was a lot more fun being a magician / illusionist back at a time when we weren't such assholes. Because now it's like, I demand the answer. I want to know. It's a gratification society. Just can't sit there and go, oh, wow, that's incredible.
All right, well, we've got lots to talk about this morning. Let's get stuck into the money shot.
Sure. So shall we talk about the market? Because we were down 2% last week, and I'm just going to blame Donald Trump for that.
Okay.
Shall we get back to him later?
Yes, sure.
The rand was about 4% weaker, traded through 12 rand to the dollar.
Might have something to do with property rights. People tend to get a little bit unhappy and uncomfortable when you start threatening their right to own things. So people would have taken some money away and put it overseas.
Absolutely. And the foreign investors are going... I have, let's see, 54 countries just on the African continent to be invested in. Why would I build a factory in South Africa if they are threatening to take it away from me?
Yeah.
The good news, though, petrol comes down on Wednesday by 36 cents a litre. Diesel's down 47 cents a litre.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
We need
nicely
that.
Ahead of your VAT increase.
Right.
And as the rand weakens.
When does the VAT increase kick in?
I think it's 1st of April.
Okay.
I think.
All right. So get ready. Everything will be more expensive.
I'm afraid so, yes.
All right.
It was a very busy week last week. We had lots of companies reporting. I mean, just there were too many to mention.
So highlights? Can we
let's
at least
do that.
Look at Bidvest?
Yeah, so Bidvest, it was a decent set of results. Nothing hugely exciting. ShopRite, also, they grew sales by 7.8%, revenue by 6.3% to 75.8 billion rand.
Not bad.
Not a bad number, right?
That's all right. So Christo Visa's not poor.
Well, yes, we need to talk about that a little bit.
What's happening?
Because remember when he was moving his money out of ShopRite into Steinhoff? Silly Billy.
So he has lost out.
Oh, he's lost out big time. And then we need to talk a little bit about Steinhoff as well, because that share just imploded on Friday.
Now, there's news that Marcus Huerster is hiding. No one can find him.
Really?
Do we know where he is?
I've heard so many things. So I heard in November, I heard he was in Argentina selling his ponies. Yeah. Then I heard in December, he was back in Plett. That's where he lived, or where he is at home, right?
Well, where's the man with 23 houses really live?
Oh, exactly. There you go. Sure. Thanks, Ben. So no, I haven't heard anything more. But if anything, I would say, yeah, he probably should hide.
They're going to arrest him.
Oh, they have to. Last week, there were emails.
Why is it taking so long?
I think they're gathering evidence.
I heard poor Heather Son trying to put together what scraps are left of this company, this once enormous, powerful juggernaut of a company. I heard her trying to explain the results. What was that, a week and a half ago?
No, that was last week, right?
Last
week.
They were supposed to release
their results last week. And what did she say? Because I didn't hear her
speak. It just sounded like a caged animal.
Oh,
I mean,
shame.
It was just for her to have to do this, to pick up the pieces, after all these white men have fucked up the company and stolen and put money in off-balance sheet places. Outrageous.
Yeah, and I'm guessing she didn't mention the emails, because emails have come to light that shows there was management collusion. So there are emails between Marcus Huerster and some of his top execs, some of them who had already left.
Do you think stealing this much money just doesn't have some kind of powerful force behind it that's directing things? It doesn't just happen.
But Gareth, the emails are so bizarre, because they literally say, like, as if it was you and me, I'd go, Gareth, please can you put 130 million euros into that company we formed 3 years ago called Genesis? Then you write back and you go, oh, Anthea, we've still got a 27 million euro unaccounted for amount that we need. Oh, okay, well, don't worry about that. Put the 130 million into Triton, because then I'll give you a justification or a guarantee for the 27. That's how those emails go.
Unbelievable. In other words, they've incriminated themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So
what happened?
Mm-hmm. No. I just want to quickly go back to ShopRite. So how does this affect the relationship between ShopRite and Steinhoff, if there is any, or is it just in their shareholders?
So it's just in their shareholders at this stage. I don't think there is any ShopRite off-balance sheet transactions. We haven't seen any. Okay. Nothing's, you know.
They're still just a shop.
They're still just a retailer. And don't forget, there's also Star, right? Steinhoff Retail Africa, which is doing particularly well. They haven't reported. I think they might report this week, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's fine. I mean, how it affects Steinhoff, I wanted to tell you, is that the JSE has now suspended bond trading and preference share trading, but not the actual Steinhoff shares. And that's because Steinhoff's primary listing is in Frankfurt, and Frankfurt haven't suspended the share yet. So the JSE almost can't do it, because it would discriminate against South African shareholders or traders. So the share is still trading, of course, on Friday. As I said, it imploded, basically.
All right.
Yeah, so it's really not looking good for Mark. I would be running and hiding if I was Marcus.
And Anheuser Busch, who own just all the beer that ever has been drunk.
And bought South African breweries for $106 billion 2 years ago now.
Right. So yeah. How are they doing?
Fantastic. So great set of results. The share was up 5%. In fact, I think we own it. It's been difficult, and we've kind of ridden the volatility wave, but really just a good set of results. I guess the most exciting things, not that much, but Stella Artois and Corona are kind of the brands that are holding them together. And then they're bringing Budweiser and alcohol-free Castle to the country this year.
I think they've already got alcohol-free Castle. Aren't they sponsoring the Proteas?
Castle-free, yeah.
Alcohol-free.
Yeah, it's called Castle-free.
Oh, is that what it, oh, so we do have it. I thought so. I thought I'd seen it advertised. I don't know why they said...
Sponsoring the Sevens box and Women's box, Sevens team.
All right.
Okay.
Very good.
And then Barclays Africa Group put out their results as well. Big news. Wait for it. They're changing their name back to Absa. Does anybody
imagine how much this has cost?
100 million rand to start off with, changing from Absa to Barclays.
And now going back to Absa.
Who knows?
What a ridiculous waste of their money. If I were a shareholder, I would kick up such a fuss. I would want to know who was responsible for this. And what difference does it make?
Well, so I would say that this was probably out of Maria Ramos. The first move was out of Maria Ramos's hands. You know, she's the CEO. Because Barclays bought a controlling stake in Absa. And then they decided it had to be called Barclays. And then they said, oh, no, it's too expensive to hold South African capital requirements on our balance sheets. So we're going to sell down to below, I think the number was 15%, so that they didn't have the regulatory requirements. And now they're moving back. But it was Maria Ramos's decision. Well, she should be responsible for moving back to Absa. Do you know what Absa stands for? Do you remember?
Amalgamated.
My hand was up.
Sorry. Yes.
Amalgamated Banks of South Africa.
I forget that I'm in Cliff Central and people just know stuff here.
There used to be a bank called Allied. There used to be a bank called Volksgas.
That's Volksgas, yeah.
Volksgas.
Yeah, and these used they all got together and made
United,
Absa.
United, yeah.
United Bank, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I would have thought, I mean, this really intrigues me, because I would have thought that if you had the opportunity to rename your bank, you would go to something modern, something exciting. Like Absa just has such a bad brand of being grey shoes. Like, it's just...
Big time.
Yeah, but you also want trust in the world of banking. You can be flash with, like, a nightclub, but... Oh, yeah. When people's money's at stake here, it's like Old Mutual. It's a cuck name. They're not going to change that to like trendy mutual.
Well, actually, the problem with Absa, we saw in their results, is that they're losing market share.
Yeah, and they're not. They're perceived widely as being the least innovative bank and doing the least in terms of online stuff and in terms of apps and in terms of trying to help people manage their own money better. It's this old school bank.
You can still call yourself Absa though, but then you just have like a zany A as your logo. And then you click on the A, and that's where you get the app.
A zany A.
Just a zany A.
See, this is where there's people like Ben who end up costing it hundreds of millions of rands when they change brand.
So you would have thought, look, you know, Michael, your dance just launched Bank Zero, which I don't think is a great name. But it's clever, right? It's zero fees, kind of, you know. And then there was Capitec, who were promising low fees. There was hashtag invest, which we did, which was cool.
So we started that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of... Interesting.
And now there's Discovery Bank coming on soon as well.
Yeah. So, like, why Absa? Anyway, shame.
Shame. Yeah, let them do their thing. We don't expect Absa to be at the front of the pack. Sorry.
But this was their opportunity.
Nah,
missed
not going to happen.
Opportunities. Okay, moving along.
All right.
And then, of course, what came out this week about the processed meat, enterprise processed meat, I think we'll probably see Tiger Brands falling a little bit flat today.
Well, maybe it's time. You know, if you're going to make enterprise bologna with listeriosis in it, in one of your factories, maybe you should be hit hard in the share price.
Well, it's not just that. Do you remember they were... They were pointed at for the bread fixing, price fixing scandal.
There's a death of over 100 people in this case. It's slightly different. This is not just some kind of collusion thing and something that costs you money or reputational damage. There actually are over 100 people dead as a result of this factory not being run properly. And I know that Tiger Brands is a huge operation. They've got factories all over. They can't keep tabs on everything. And problems occur. And there are sometimes... A drop in standards that result in some kind of problem. But this is a different kettle of fish, if you'll pardon the pun, because they're now 100 odd people dead. Not good.
No.
Really not good.
So I, of course, I'm not trying to be unsympathetic or unempathetic, but I'm trying to figure out how much the share price is going to fall today.
Think of how Lonman got punished for what happened at Marikana.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a punishment, an equivalent sort of punishment for what happens here. And I'm not trying to drum up any kind of corporate hatred. And I'm certainly not trying to say that companies must always pay money in terms of their share price for for the death of people when it's an accident or if it's malicious. But in this case, I do think a lot of people be saying, well, where's the justice? Doesn't seem right. All right, can we talk about Ascendis quickly?
Oh, yes, because Carsten Wellner, who's the CEO, resigned last week.
And what happened to them? They were such a great company for a while. We were invested in them for a long time.
Indeed, and I did love the company.
Where did they fall off
Carsten,
the rails?
Carsten kind of, he got what we call...
Listeriosis?
So Warren Buffett put it in his annual report last week, and he said, we have to watch CEOs who have power to do acquisitions, and we give them lots of money. They make lots of money. We give them lots of money to do acquisitions, and they kind of just run, you know, and it becomes more of an ego issue than anything else. And unfortunately for Carsten, he's made a couple of non-profitable acquisitions, and so the share price has fallen off, and subsequently...
So he's a shit CEO.
He's
got a bad first name. I mean, if your parents call you Carsten, you're going to spend your whole life trying to prove that you're not a douche. I could have predicted this.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Well, the share price rallied, so just to say that there are a few people who agree with you, unfortunately. It went from 11.85 to... In I think that was the 1st of Feb, to 14.04 on Friday.
Oof.
So, yeah, that's like vicious. A 35-40% increase in the share price.
Sounds like a lot of 18%. People agree with me.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right. But maybe this is the great comeback.
Sorry, Carsten.
Yeah, I feel like that. I know him, so I do. Sorry, Carsten.
No, shame. I mean, it's unfortunate. You make a couple of bad calls, and this is what happens in business. Everybody always looks at, oh, well, look at that CEO and how much they're paying themselves. And they always see the upside. They never see when things go horribly wrong like this, how it affects. And that poor guy must be feeling awful about what he's done to the share. And not just him, but, you know, there must be other people involved. It's just the ups and downs of business. If it was all a reward, then it would be easy. Everyone would do it.
There you go.
It's risk and reward. Mm-hmm. All right, Donald Trump, you mentioned him earlier. Let's finish that thought.
Yeah. So last week, Donald Trump decided that he was going to apply import tariffs, 25% on steel and 10% on aluminium. And you get why he's doing it, right? Because he wants to protect jobs in America. And he's saying we should buy American steel first. But actually, the reality of the situation is that all those car manufacturers, all those aluminium beer can and Coke can makers, they actually buy not only US, but also Canadian and everywhere else, or aluminum, as they say.
Aluminum.
That's right. And the market reacted very badly because they know that trade protectionism doesn't actually work. The EU, of course, Jean-Claude Juncker, who's head of European Commission.
Yeah.
He came back and, like, in true European style, he said, we will not sit idly by. I love the way they phrase things, you know, because that's how they speak, obviously.
But I don't understand this. I mean, either you're a free market kind of guy or you're not. If you're a protectionist, you're not a free market kind of person. And you can't have some happy medium between the two because it doesn't exist.
So that's what Trump doesn't understand, right? He's going, I want to protect jobs in America, and therefore I will make it more expensive to import steel and aluminium. You know what's going to happen, of course. The car makers are going to go, well, actually, it's now costing us more because there's not enough U.S. steel for us
to make all these cars in India.
Or we're just going to put the price of cars up. They'll pass it on to the consumer. End of story. They don't care.
And then it ends up hitting his economy hard anyway.
There you go. That's exactly. Of course, the EU have come back and said, in particular, they've named three products, which I think is fantastically funny. Harley Davidson.
Yes.
Kentucky Bourbon. And denim jeans. The EU are going to put up taxes on those three products. Just to get back.
Tit for tat.
I mean, talk about trade wars. Are these kids serious? Okay. And then the absolute last thing, while we're talking about Europe, it was the Italian vote this weekend, and it looks like we're heading for a hung parliament.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know.
There's nothing worse than a hung Italian.
You saw that one coming. Anthea.
Sorry.
Okay.
It's true.
Sorts of images.
So what does this mean? What does it mean to have a hung parliament?
Oh, you've broken it, Anthea. She's lost it. She's gone.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Just promise me it's not Silvio Berlusconi involved here, because if he's the hung Italian, we've got a major problem.
Oh, man.
With those bunga bunga parties.
Sorry. Actually, he is running, but he can't be president because he... he's hung, but because he has a tax corruption scandal against him.
Well, surprise, surprise on that one. So our president, former President Zuma's best friend. Ah, Jacob, how are you doing? Jacopo, how are you doing, Jacopo?
I am very well, despite being under the sword of Damocles with these many charges of fraud and corruption.
Don't worry about it. I tell you, nothing happened. The two of them. All right.
Oh, great. All right, guys.
So how does this affect the euro?
Yeah, so what I'm worried about is that all the populist parties are gaining votes in Europe, and Italy is proving so, and the anti-EU sentiment is just getting stronger. That, I mean, you know, it's not going to be immediately impactful, I don't think. Like, maybe the market will come off a little bit.
Yeah.
But in the long run, I think the EU's cohesion is at stake here.
All right. That's well, we'll be paying attention. Thank you, Anthea. You always keep us on top of things.
My pleasure.
Thank
and
you.
We'll speak to you next week.
Very good. There it is. Anthea and the Money Shot. Now, if you've just come in this morning and you need something positive and optimistic and exciting to start your day, guess who's back? Sia's back.
Back with a little again.
Bit. That's right, with a little bit of positive, useful information for you to start your day. Said by Sia.
After a 2-week hiatus, it's back.
Yeah.
And this morning, I just want to start your week off and your morning off with a bit of something that will hopefully change your perspective. I've somehow highlighted a similar story ages ago, but I think it's always good to raise up issues like this. But a nurse working with terminally ill cancer patients has created a list of what matters most in life to people who are facing death. So she's written this after dealing with many people who are now facing death. And these are the things that really matter to them. So I think, hey, if we can note this down, think about this every morning when we're about to complain. And let me just give you a heads up on this list. It's not about living it up in a great party. It's not about, oh, I wish I had a fancy car. But okay. Just these just prove how, you know, the simple things really matter in life. So here's a list of what truly matters to some of these cancer patients. Number one, someone said, watching my sons throw a baseball. Another person said, listening to my grandparents tell stories. Another person said, my girlfriend surprising me with a kiss on my cheek. Someone said, the day I got married, I said I never would, and then I met her. Uh-oh. And now I have to leave her. Get your tissues out.
Oh my God.
Someone said, the rush of weekday mornings. I know it sounds crazy, but I'll miss it. I'll miss the coffee, the crowded bathrooms, my wife's quick peck goodbye, the kids forgetting their lunch. You get my point. And then someone else said, rain. Is that weird? But notice how none of these things cost money. They don't include a lot of technology. They're just basic. It's the little things in life that we so often overlook. So I hope this morning with Said by Sia that you just remember to cherish the tiny moments, because, hey, that's what matters right in the end.
Wow. Powerful
Quite a lot
stuff.
To think about.
You've
oh, yeah.
You've come back with a bang. Thank you, Sia. All right, when we get cracking with the rest of your morning, we've got lots of news stories to get into, some important stuff that's happening. Is Rich Mulholland joining us today, or is he not?
No, not today. He's in transit.
It's always a mystery. Yeah. You never know. I genuinely have to check with Sia every single time whether he's coming or not. But we have plenty of other good stuff for you, so stick around. It's all happening.
This is CliffCentral.com.